Hello and welcome back to the Where I Am podcast, where we strive to create a safe space for honest mental health discussions and encourage women to embrace their unique journeys. So I'm your host, Destiny.
And I'm Erica.
How's it going?
It's going good. This whole podcast has definitely helped me push myself to do things that I probably never would have done without the podcast, and that being one of posting more on social media, especially, you know, sharing how I got to this point. And it definitely empowered myself, but also I was so nervous and just knowing that it was out there.
A day ago, Erica posted, or she's been posting a lot, but then she posted a more personal note about, like she said, how she moved back home and just kind of being more vulnerable. And I think that takes a lot. Like right now, social media, that's all personal branding. So I know some people think, oh, why are people want to be content creators, or why do they want to post? But it gives you the opportunity to tap into different passions that you have. So mental health is our passion, and we're advocating for that. But people are not really interested unless they see you on YouTube and if they hear you in your podcast, but they also want to see you on Instagram and TikTok and all these things, which is not something that we had previously been doing. You know, we had our full-time jobs and we were working that. But now that we have this other avenue, that other channel that we're trying to expand upon, we're understanding that we have to get into social media and we're excited
we
to
have
connect.
To put ourselves out there.
We have to be vulnerable. We're excited to connect and build a community, but it can be a lot. So Erica's leading the charge on that,
yeah,
on
trying.
Her socials.
Trying.
I'm still like, oh, I don't exactly know what to say. I don't know kind of content. So I'm working on it, but this is just us being honest. But I was so proud. I'm so proud of her. Good job.
Thank you. And the response that I've been getting from my friends have definitely, like the comments on it have been like, okay, like I can breathe now. Like it's, I know there's some people that might judge me and that's fine, but to know that the people around me are supporting me is overshadowing, you know, the negative thoughts.
Yeah, I think it's good. And like you said, it's hard to put yourself out there, especially when people follow you, your friends, your family, people you went to high school with, and you're talking to them about what
exes. Oh my gosh.
Good job.
Thank you.
And so that does lead us to talk even further about women's empowerment with our first guest, Ermi.
Yes, I'm so excited to hear her story and just her journey of her mentorship and just all the work that she's been doing in the Women in Leadership Foundation.
Today, we are really excited that we have a guest here with us. Her name is Ermi Hossein. So she comes from a very diverse background as an Italian Bengali woman. She was born in Italy and now lives in Canada. And she has a deep passion for finance. So she works as an investment associate at a wealth management firm. And in her spare time, she's able to teach women and girls finance. She has a variety of different interests that span from having a women's empowerment blog, being active on social media and YouTube, authoring 2 books, and volunteering at a nonprofit organization called Women in Leadership. And she works as their social media lead. So today we're going to speak about the importance of empowering and uplifting women around us, in addition to what mental wellness looks like for her as a South Asian woman. So welcome and thank you for being here.
Yay, welcome.
Hi.
Hi. So can you elaborate and speak a little bit more on your upbringing, the diverse culture that you're from, and talk about how you got into finance?
Sure, it would be my pleasure. I was born in Italy. My parents are from Bangladesh. And I basically spent my whole life in Italy. And as I was growing up, I always felt like I was not able to fit a box because I never felt like I was Bengali enough. I never felt like I was Italian enough. So I went through sort of like an identity crisis because when I would be around my Italian friends, they would tell me, no, you're Italian because you're born here. But I was very much aware that it wasn't true because my facial features show otherwise, that I don't look Italian. When I used to be around my Bengali friends or Bengali community, I also felt like I was struggling. Even though I look like them, I did not think like them. Their mentality was very much like the South Asian mentality, so it's a little bit less open to things, whereas I had more like a mentality of a Western person. So I was much more welcoming and accepting of things. And so I went through that struggle as I was growing up. Then I moved to Canada, and this struggle just became much bigger because people would ask me like, oh, where are you from? And I would never have like a defined answer. Like I wasn't sure, do I say I'm Italian, do I say I'm Bengali? And then no matter what answer I gave, people were always judging me. Like people were like, oh, but you're like, you don't look Italian. So why do you say you're Italian? And then if I would say I'm Bengali, people would be like, oh, but you have an accent. Like you have like an Italian accent when you speak English. So, So that was also a struggle. And then all these like little things, they just triggered, let's say it's sort of like a self-reflection about who am I as a person and who do I want to represent. And so after having conversation and dialogues with people, I finally came to like embrace both of the cultures and not see it as you know, sort of like a weakness. I embraced both of them as if something like, this is my strength, and I can bring not just one or two perspective, but I can bring the fusion of the two perspective into this world. And that's how I define myself, being a third culture kid.
Well, that's definitely a journey. So how did you say that you came to that conclusion? Just by talking with your peers and seeing their experiences as well?
Yeah, talking to my closest friends who shared my same background. By same background, I mean like having multiple ethnicity. And then I also followed some Instagram pages for third culture kids. And that's what I realized, that, you know what, there's a community out there, so I'm not crazy. Like there are people out there like me. So it started to, like, seeing those things, it started to validate that my thoughts were not, you know, out of nowhere.
Right. Yeah. Can you tell us more about your journey on how you got to Canada, like how you've traveled and gone through finance?
Yeah, Canada, it's a very long story, but I moved for various reasons, mainly personal reasons. And then when it came to studying finance, it wasn't something that I actually ever planned on doing. Like it never crossed my mind. When I was in Italy, I was very good at math, but we never took like finance classes. Like no one teaches you finance or personal finance. And I was initially in international business, and I think I was in international business. Finance was my minor. And what happened is I used to hate international business. Like, I can't explain how much I used to hate this subject, but I did, because I was like, I'm not quite sure how it's adding value to my life. And so then I did a finance course, and I was like, that's it. I just fell in love with it. It was like love at first sight. And so it became my major, to the point that I didn't want to graduate. Like I wanted to stay at school forever. I wanted to stay in university. Like I even did like an honors program, and I stayed an extra year. And afterwards, it was time for me to literally leave university, or they were going to kick me out. And what happened is I started to work in finance, and I was like, you know what? I still want to continue studying. So I pursued another designation, which is called the CFA designation, which stands for Charter Financial Analyst, and it's probably one of the most globally recognized designation. So I very much enjoyed like studying finance, learning finance, teaching finance, like not teaching finance, but like telling people about finance and why it's important. And then like, I just very much enjoy listening to finance because I think it's so dynamic. It's like ever changing, and it matches my personality. So even now, like I listen to podcasts about finance, I read books about finance, like I never get tired of this subject. Like I just love it. And so that's how it started. And even now, like I work in finance, and I very much enjoy what I do. Like I go to events and we listen to what's going on in the financial market, what's happening in the economy. And it's always so interesting to listen to this thing, because it's also a learning opportunity for me.
Yeah, and I think as women, it's important for us to know about our finances, about our investments, about, you know, how we can save and better ourselves apart from relationships and being married, and what can we do on our own. So I think that's amazing. That's really great.
Yeah, I would say that I took one accounting class in college, and I was like, no, this is not this is not what I want to do. So I commend you for, you know, being interested in that, because we definitely need more women being passionate about finance and being willing to teach others as well.
So can you talk to us about your road to empowering other women, and what does that really mean to you, and what have you been able to do with the nonprofit that you're associated with and things of that nature?
Yes, my journey with women's empowerment started with how I was seeing things in my community. I come from a South Asian background, and there's a lot of double standards. Like, women are not allowed to do certain things. Women have to do certain things. And you spoke about, like, how women, you know, they're not taught about finance, and that usually something that happens a lot in every community. And I saw it also in my own community. And then afterwards, I was like, you know what? I want to change this. And during the pandemic, I had a little bit of time to think about it and what values I have and what I want to stand for. And so I was like, I want to do something related to women's empowerment, because we're not given enough credit. I also work in a sector which is very, very male dominated. And so I saw a little bit of this, like, inequality, even when I would go for interviews, you know, when I would look into companies, like management team, I would see that there was not a representation, there was no diversity. And so it was something that really bothered me, because I was like, how are we going to make a change if no one does anything? So then I was like, you know what, I'm going to start with a blog. So I started with a blog where I talk about my life. I talk about, you know, things like how you can use your voice to make a change. I talk about public speaking. I talk about career, how you can advocate for yourself when you're working in a corporate job. And so I share my own experience. And then I was like, I want to be associated with something much bigger. So then I found Women Leadership, which is an organization based in Canada. We have 7 chapters all around Canada. And each chapter, they do like their own thing. But our common goal is to promote more women in leadership positions. We want to promote gender equality. So we provide like tools and resources for women to basically empower themselves. So we have like leadership development programs. We have mentoring program. We offer like free services during the year, like webinars where these webinars are basically about different things, like how you can use LinkedIn to look for a job, how you can use artificial intelligence for your best advantage, how, you know, you can have like serve like webinars about public speaking. So we basically are spreading this message by providing tools to women so they can use these things. And for me, women's empowerment really mean, like, for me, it really means uplifting one another and building a community of women who are bold, strong, and ambitious. Because often I think the society expectations sort of put these limiting beliefs in ourselves that we cannot do certain things. And I want to break that, because I think both women and men should be given equal opportunities, but often we're not given that. So I'm trying to basically change that landscape.
Have you felt like there are women in your life that have empowered you and allowed you to be able to accomplish your goals?
Yes, definitely. My closest friends are basically my cheerleaders, because they always basically push me to pursue my goals, my ambitions, my dreams. And I often call my friends Friendtor, which is a combination of friend and mentor, because I think we need that support, you know, to thrive. You need that support around you, and you need to find the good people, because you can be like around someone who's basically not supporting you, who's always like judging you. You have to find the good people who see like the power in you and what you're capable of.
Do you have any message for women that are listening on how they can, because they can obviously, if they're in Canada, join one of the chapters that you mentioned, but what are different ways in the community that they can get involved or help to, you know, be a source of encouragement for other women?
So definitely we have all the chapters available on our website, and people, basically the women can go to the website and find the chapter that is better suited for them. But we offer like a lot of virtual things. So even if you're not in a certain chapter, it doesn't limit you from like participating, because like mentorship program, leadership program, they're all virtual. I definitely think that being part of a community is fundamental, and it doesn't necessarily have to be with women in leadership. There are so many organizations out there that I know as well that are based on like empowering women, or, you know, helping women entrepreneurs, helping women who are moms, and how basically they can thrive in like in anything. So being part of a community is very, very important. The other one that I like very much is basically believing in yourself and knowing that you're capable of basically achieving everything. Because I was just talking about this, that it's about mindset, and it's about, you know, working how you think about things and seeing that, you know, it's not a hurdle, whatever you're thinking, it's just an opportunity, and it's just an opportunity for you to basically take advantage of. And then lastly, like, you always want to advocate for yourself, because no one will be there standing for you unless you do it for yourself, and you know what you're worth of. So you have to know that you're worthy of anything, you know what you're capable of, you know your values, and always basically advocate for yourself in any situations.
Yeah, I think I've been working on my confidence as well. Like in previous episodes, I talk about, you know, dealing with my fitness and really understanding that can contribute to my mental health as well. And when I saw one of your conversations that you had about mental health, you talked about your anxiety, and I resonated with you because I also have anxiety. Can you talk about like when you first experienced your anxiety and maybe how that translated maybe into previous working positions?
Yeah, it happened basically during the pandemic. And there was a lot of, there was a heavy workload, and we were working from home. So there was never like that type of disconnect, you know, like, yes, you close your computer, but technically you're not disconnected. You're still like at home. And I remember being bombarded with a lot of work, and I started to realize that it was making me anxious. Like I would not be able to sleep. I would go to sleep and worry about work. I would wake up, worry about work. And then like I would talk about this to someone and I would just start crying. And that's when I realized, okay, this is a signal. And it would never happen to me. This was like a big signal where, okay, if I'm crying about this, it's a serious thing. You know, it's not just saying, okay, I'm anxious, and you know, no one believes it unless they see what like all the reactions. So I would like cry. And then after this, like I was always constantly nervous. I was never able to completely disconnect from anything. So I had to basically take a short leave. And I had to take time for myself where I was not thinking about work. And even when I was on the short leave, I was always worried about, okay, what's next when I go back, you know? Mm-hmm. So there was always that worry inside of me.
Right.
And luckily, my company offered like resources for me to use. Like I could call someone to speak about it, and those helped. But I was always constantly nervous. I was very, very nervous, and some of the things they suggested me to do was, you know, you have to do some mindfulness work, and so like being present, like when you go for a walk, just be present with yourself. Feel, you know, like observe what's around you, feel the grass. That was one thing they told me to do. They even told me to do, one of my friends told me to do journaling. So I started to do a little bit of journaling as well. And I still do. I think it helps you a little bit to, again, be with yourself and be present. I spoke about this with a friend as well, and she also have like anxiety issues as well. And those were two of the things that I've done. And even now, like time to time, I get really anxious. I really do get anxious to the point that I cannot sleep. And it really bothers me because I don't know, it's like something is happening inside me, but I don't know how to take it out of me. And I feel like it's something that really not many people understand. Like many people say like, oh, I'm anxious, but it's just, they just say it for the sake of saying it, but you don't even know what it goes through. Like I remember I had an episode of anxiety where I couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe. I was sitting in the washroom and I had like really hard time breathing, and I wasn't quite sure what was happening. I was completely unaware of this. Like I was unfamiliar with the reaction that was happening with me. And I remember not being able to breathe. I was shaking and I had to calm myself down. And now when I feel anxious, not at least to that level, I try to really like just go outside, stop everything. I go for a run or like I go for a walk. I take like some fresh air and it helps. But it's something that really, I think it's not something that you can basically take a medicine and solve it. You know, I think it will always be part of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have anxiety as well to where it almost can be paralyzing at times. Yeah. For me, where you feel like I can't move forward with anything because I'm just so stressed out. There's so many different ways that I could go. Everything that is on my mind, especially with being a parent, that I get paralyzed in whatever it is that I'm trying to do. And then dealing with depression, I just have a feeling of hopelessness, like nothing is going to get better at times. But I do think it's important like that we have these conversations so that other people can know. Like you said, if they are having these feelings, if they're sitting there and they're crying and they can't really understand that something is wrong. It's not just you. A lot of people are going through this and there is a community and different people out there who have these same experiences. Do you feel like your family and your friends and your circle of people are able to have an understanding of what you're going through?
No. Because there's so much stigma around mental health. There's so much stigma, like especially like in the South Asian community where people just think it's a moment. It's a temporary thing. You'll feel better the next day. That type of thing. So there are no discussion about mental health. And I wanted to add something else that happened to me many years ago where I had like mild depression. Because I somehow like diagnosed myself because I didn't want to see someone. I was way too scared of what they were going to say. But based on my research, it was a mild depression because I remember not wanting to do anything. Like I would just come home. I just wanted to go to bed. I didn't want to talk to anyone. Like I would go outside and I wanted to have a plastic bag on me because I was like, I really don't want anyone to see me. Again, I would go to work and I would just cry. And it was all these factors around me that were basically triggered these kind of emotions in me. And I did not feel like doing anything that I'm doing right now. Like I didn't feel like pursuing any hobbies. I didn't feel like eating. I remember this was another thing that happened. Like I was never hungry. I just had like a deep sense of sadness in me. It was crazy. And I remember talking about this to a therapist, but she could not understand what I was going through. So it would make me even more frustrated about the whole situation. Made me so like frustrated. And afterwards I was like, you know what? I cannot live like that. You know, that's not me. I have to find the strength to come back to the person that I was. And I could see that even some of my friends could notice the change in me. Like they could see that my light was off, you know, it's like you are not the same cheerful girl that we knew with so much life. And that's when I had to like push myself to do the things that I love. And so I started to, you know, volunteer for organizations. I joined like clubs where you work on public speaking. I decided to like be part of community. So those little things really helped me to cope with the mild depression that I had. But it's something that I never speak about, honestly. But when I think about it, it was really a dark moment in my life. And I really don't want to go back to that. It's just so sad. Honestly, it was such a sad moment in my life. And I'm happy of how far I've come right now. But it was hard. It was really hard.
Well, I'm glad that you did mention it because it is hard to sometimes bring up those bad memories that you have. It depends on the day. Sometimes I feel really good and happy and sometimes I'm like, I don't even want to wake up and start this day. You feel exhausted even though you haven't done anything. Like you said, that's a good example of your light feels off. And sometimes I'm like, where is that girl that was in her early 20s that was so happy and bubbly and wanted to be around people like her friends, and now I just want to be alone? But I think that the more that we talk about it, for sure, definitely people can be able to relate and notice if they're having those feelings within them. So you said the ways that you were able to get better from that was going outside. That's something that I also do, like journaling. And were there any other ways?
Yeah, journaling, going outside. I wanted to do meditation.
Oh, Destiny does meditation. Yes, I'm working on doing like that too.
It doesn't work on me. It really doesn't work. I'm not able to. I think I'm not patient enough.
Right.
I'm really not patient enough, honestly. And I spoke with the therapist about it. Like, not a therapist, she's like a mental health specialist. And she told me, you cope with things like emotions. So I told her, like, I feel better when I'm working out. So she told me, like, continue doing the workout that you do. Like, if you go running outside, if you do HIIT workout. So those things help me.
And that's interesting too, the difference, how I can sit there and breathe and it makes me feel calm. But when I work out, sometimes it gets me more worked up. When I'm on the treadmill, I'm like, I'm about to fall off because I can't, my heart's pumping too fast. There's too many things going through my head. So it's just, it goes by what's best for you.
Yeah.
It's different for everybody.
Yeah. I recently started to do boxing.
Mm. Oh, wow.
I love it. I think that's the best workout that you can do, like, for anything. Honestly, it's such a good workout. I love it.
How long have you been doing it?
So I started in 2024. Okay, I started in 2022, but it was like an on and off thing because I would just mainly do the workout in the summer and not in the winter because the place where it's located, it's like a little bit far from my workplace. And during the winter, because it's dark, there's snow, I'm like, you know what? I don't want to walk there. Mm-hmm. But I did it for like 2 summers and I'm going back like next week. So it's
amazing.
I love boxing. I think it just gives me so much like power. I love it.
Right. You can just punch it out.
Yes.
Punch your feelings out.
Yes.
I love that. I need to try that too.
Yeah. So Erica goes to the gym every single day. She is loyal to that gym.
Yes. I would love to punch some stuff.
It's so much fun. And for anger management and stress management, the best thing ever.
Can you talk to us about that therapist who didn't understand? Because we've also talked in a previous episode about how finding the right therapist is key. Someone that gets you, maybe your background, and because if not, you're going to feel frustrated. Can you tell us about that experience?
Yeah, so that was my first and last therapist that I've seen. Mm-hmm. And I used them because I was like, it's like it was offered by my company, and I was like, let me try some of the sessions. So I was like, given this person based on my location. Mm-hmm. And I honestly, I never felt like she understood anything I was telling her, because I had every single session I had to repeat everything from like A to Z, and I was like, okay, but like this is a continuation. This is not like you're not meeting me for the first time. So and every time she would ask me this question, so I would be like super frustrated. And then I spoke with a friend who sees a therapist, and she's like, yeah. It's about finding the right one for you. Mm-hmm. And I also listened to a podcast about this. They said you have to find the right one. It's like, it's sort of like dating where you have to like, it's sort of like dating. And she suggested me one because she told me that this person could understand her better because of the ethnical background. Mm-hmm. And so I think that also played a factor because the person I saw, she didn't share my same ethnical background. So I felt like she could not totally understand me.
Right.
And then afterwards, basically, my friend told me, yeah, you have to find the right one. So you have to continuously shop until you find the one who basically understands you. But ever since I didn't see anyone, it is something that I would like to explore. But I'm not prioritizing it right now. So I think there's no harm in talking to a therapist. I think it just helps you to understand you better, I think.
Right. I think it can be harmful when they don't understand where it is that you're coming from. Yeah. And that's why I make it a point. I'm on my second therapist and I have black female therapists I can feel like they get what it is that I'm saying instead of it going right over their head. Because I feel like just because they're educated in a certain space, it doesn't mean they know you and your family and how, like you said, your community works.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I can say that for me, probably it's better to have someone who's South Asian who can understand what I'm going through and the struggle that a non-South Asian woman would probably not understand.
In that same episode that you were speaking about mental health, you said about the struggle of setting boundaries with maybe family or friends. How is that going now? Is it getting better, or you still struggle with it, or how are you setting boundaries?
Yeah. So here's the thing, and I'm pretty sure you both of you have experienced it. You're taught that you have to please everyone, basically, right? Okay. So I was taught the same way, and my upbringing was based on that. Like, I just have to say yes to everything. I have to serve the needs of other people, and if they're not happy, that's my job to make them happy. But I think as I became much older and mature, I understood the importance of boundaries. Like, I actually read books about putting boundaries with friends and family, and it's okay to say no. So for me, my first step in boundaries was really saying no to the things that didn't serve my needs and not feel bad about it. Because I think you start to have a sense of guilt when you're not helping someone or when you're not doing a favor to someone. Mm-hmm. But there is nothing bad when you choose yourself first. And so, like, I put boundaries, let's say at work. Like, I don't like to stay after 5. And I made it clear that at 5 I'm leaving. You know, it's important to put the boundary because then you'll be taken advantage of by the people around you. I do the same thing also at home. Like, if there are events and I'm not interested in going because I have better things to do, maybe I just want to spend time for myself, I just strictly say, I can't make it. I'm not going today. So I'm putting boundaries because I think it's important that I protect myself from these external factors. And again, I think there's so much stigma around boundaries. Like, it's like you're not supposed to be put boundaries because what's mine, it's yours. And I think I'm getting also negative feedback from some people where there's a little bit of dislike based on the answer that I have given. But I'm okay with what I'm doing. I think I have to really protect myself first from all these things before I get attacked and it affects me negatively. And so for me, like, putting boundaries has been important. I got some mixed feedback, but I still continue with my path of saying no if something is not serving my purpose.
Yeah, I feel like as I've learned to set boundaries, I think I thought I was setting them previously, but then when people would push back, I would just give in. Like, okay, all right, then fine, we can do that. So that's the hardest thing, is being firm on them.
It is hard, and I also get pushback, but I push back as well. So you have to be really firm about it, and it's hard. I want to be taken seriously. Like, I don't want people to take advantage of me, and I speak up. I speak up if I'm not happy with something. It's something that I learned through the years because, again, your thought that you're always supposed to say yes to everything and please everyone, but it doesn't work like that. I also have my own needs, my wants, my goals, my ambitions, and I think it's important to make it clear. So as a woman in finance, I make sure that everyone understands that you're not messing up with any other woman. I'm a tough cookie.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, can you talk just about the mentorship that you do for girls
within finance? Yes, so I'm part of the mentoring thing. I'm part of like many organizations, but I'm going to stick to the one that I'm currently part of. So there is an organization called 100 Women in Finance, where the organization is based in New York, and they have like a bunch of other offices like all around the world. And we have like one in Toronto. We have like in other parts of the world as well. And basically what I do is I mentor young talents. Like, I'm talking about young women in their 20s who basically want to work and study in finance. And so they basically, you get matched with someone like who's basically like maybe just started university, or maybe she just finished and she wants to work in finance. And they ask you for like experience about, you know, working in finance, or what are some of the things that I should do, you know, to improve myself, like looking for jobs. So I've been providing like tips, advice, guidance to these young girls who have been part of my life. And honestly, it's such a beautiful experience because you see this like young woman in their 20s who are so ambitious and driven, and like they just want to like, you know, they're go-getters, and I'm like, oh my God, this is so nice. Like, I wish I had one when I was growing up. But it's nice to see that, you know, it's nice because they do want to change things and they do want to, you know, create a better future for themselves. So for me, like, it's been such a rewarding experience.
Have you had any that have gone off to do certain things and come back and told you about their success and their accomplishments yet?
Or it's still early? So I had people, like girls who were just thankful of the work that I've been doing with them. But there's one girl in particular who I talk to nowadays. Even now I talk to her, and she told me, like, you're just, like, you're such an amazing person. So she keeps talking to me for advice, and I don't mind. Mm-hmm. And that has been probably my best experience mentoring. Like, she was always prepared. She was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm struggling with. So she was always like proactive in everything. And this is what I liked about her. Like, if, like, I want my mentee to know what she wants to do. And so she knew everything. And I think her work has been, like, she's still struggling to find a job. That's what we've been working on together. But I told her, like, don't give up. It's also, like, the situation right now. People are laying off. You know, it's like, it's right. not you. It's really not you. It's just the circumstances.
Right. We were talking previously before we got on about times when we've been in spaces, whether it's at work, school, where women are not treating you the way they should. They're not uplifting you. Do you have any advice for people in that situation where you find yourself around women that are not, you know, helping you along your journey?
My advice is to just cut them out. Cut them out mm-hmm. from your life. Yeah. You don't deserve to be in a group of people where women are not uplifting you. Like, I think our right. job is really to stand for each other, not
have
to
you
be against
each other.
Not really. I don't think I did.
Good.
I don't think I did. No, it never happened. No.
Yeah, I think I've definitely worked in certain places where I didn't feel as accepted by managers or things like that. I think it depends on your personality. Sometimes managers lean towards different personality types, and so it can be difficult. I'm glad you've never experienced it.
No. Yeah, I think there's some women that, like, they just see other women as competition, so they, you know, treat you as such, and it's disheartening to that we can't remove that kind of behavior amongst women.
Yeah. I've seen it. It never happened to me, and I'm glad, and I hope it never happened. But I think I never put myself in that type of situation, because I don't like to, like, I don't, like, if there's someone who's working towards something, I would rather help them to achieve it, even though they could be my direct competitor. But it's like, I don't care. Like, I am my own competitor, you know. I'm always striving to be better than I was yesterday. So for me, what's around me, I care less about it. Because, you know, like, even at school, I'm giving you, like, a stupid example here where, you know, you are studying and you do an exam, and then you have people asking, oh, what did you get in the exam? Like, I would never tell them my grade, because I knew that it would create a sense of competition. So I would, like, not say anything. And I was not even interested in what they were getting. Like, for me, it's like, it's not affecting me. Like, if you get 100, I'm more than happy for you that you got 100. You know, it's like...
Like, so. You said, it really is your mindset in most things in life is what I'm discovering, because you can have two people that are going through very similar circumstances, but if a person's mindset is negative, that's gonna, you know, be more difficult than the person who is trying to be optimistic. So
yeah, it is about mindset. Yeah,
so it seems like you've been able to balance, and even throughout, like, anxiety and depression, that you've been able to overcome and still have a very positive mindset.
I try.
Is there anything else that you've been working on that you want to share with us? We know you're an author, and there's a lot of different things you've been doing. Anything else that you want to?
I mean, I do have a lot of things that I want to do. Mm-hmm. I want to give a TED Talk one day. That has been, I mentioned it in every single podcast that I go, because I'm hoping that I manifest it and it just happens.
Exactly.
That has been, like, my long-term goal. So I've been working on, like, my public speaking, becoming a better speaker. That's one. And the second project that I have, I do want to, like, write a second book, which is a continuation of the first one. But I talk about that a little bit, my experience being a third culture kid. So for me, those two things are very important right now. I think, like, when you're able to write a book and give a TED Talk, there's, like, further satisfaction, like, self-satisfaction and self-accomplishment. And I I kind of like that, you know. It's like when you tell people, oh yeah, I wrote a book, I can actually say that, you know. It's right. Like not anyone can say that. Right. Yeah,
that's true.
And you mentioned public speaking. So you're in Toastmasters. I'm in Toastmasters as well here in
Me
Houston.
Too.
Yeah, I like it a lot. It's really helpful because I wanted to work on my public speaking for the podcast, and I would hope to be a speaker one day as well. So yeah.
I love Toastmasters. I love it. It's so much fun.
Yeah. How long have you been in there? I'm trying to get Erica to get involved too.
Erica, you should go. You should go. It's so much fun. Honestly, it's so much fun. You get to learn from like different people, and then like you get to shop a little bit with your like when you with your speeches, you know, and you're not being judged. Like I've been part of it for the past 5 years, actually.
Oh, okay. I'm new. I think I started in October of this past year. So cool.
It's 5 years. It's fun. It's fun.
That's good to know that it's helping you with your speaking and everything that you've been doing lately.
Yeah, it has been helping me because I have a YouTube channel, so I do like interviews. So that's how I use my, you know, interview skills that I learned at Toastmasters. It helps me with my personal branding because I get to get invited into different shows like podcast shows, and I was actually contacted last year to do like an actual professional video where I talk about my experience working in finance. And that was like, I had to use my public speaking. So it's like, it just opened me the door to different opportunities.
That's awesome that you're able to work on something and then have it come to fruition, whatever it is that you want. Hopefully in the near future, a TED Talk. And so
yes.
Make sure you send us the link.
We're manifesting for it too.
Yes, it was manifested.
We wish you the best of luck, though, in everything that it is that you're doing. And, you know, if you write another book, we'd be happy to have you back. And thank you so much for speaking about empowerment.
Thank you so much. Be sure to subscribe and follow us on our socials at Where I Am Podcast. If you want us to discuss a specific topic, you can also email us at whereiampodcast@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, don't forget to share and leave a review.